So I'm going to be bringing your guys' word this morning. My name is Pastor Chase. I am the youth and young adult pastor here at Parkway. And I'm going to be bringing a word for you guys. And really what I felt like just needed to be a very big encouragement for everyone that's all across this room. And so as we get ready to dive into this, I want you guys to know if I ever stutter or if I don't get my words out clearly, if I start to speak too fast or too slow, I will be making myself available for those that want to be able to give me some critiques at the end of the service this morning. I'm still working. I'm still trying to do my best, but I want you guys to know that there's an encouragement that the Lord wanted to give each and every one of you, and we're going to try to dive into this morning, talking about what I felt like the Lord placed on my heart, talking about knock down, not out. As we get ready to dive into this, Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, our scripture for the morning. It says, "Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city, thinking that he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he left with Barnabas." Imagine that. Here we have Paul, who goes into the city of Lystra, and God uses him to perform a miracle for this individual who has never been able to walk, who's lame from birth. Then in verse 19, which is where we picked up this morning in Acts chapter 14, it says, some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They not only did that, but they decided to stone Paul and throw him outside of the city, leaving him there for dead. The story continues to go on that Paul, after some disciples gathered around him, he didn't just sit outside of the city and say, I'm done. No, he said, I'm going to go back into that same city and continue the call that God has for me for this city. In some ways, Paul was knocked out. No, he wasn't knocked out whatsoever. He was just knocked down. As we get ready to dive into this, I want to be able to pray as we dive into the encouragement that the Lord has for us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we dive into your scriptures, we dive into your word this morning, God, I just want the Holy Spirit to show up and speak to all of the individuals that are here inside this room, that God, don't let this be something that comes from my voice, but have it be something that is from your voice. And so, Father, as this encouragement goes out this morning, God, I just want to be able to have every individual walk away from here going, that was of God, that was from God. And so, God, this morning, to put it very simply, help. Amen. All right, as we dive into this morning, I want you guys to know, knocked out, no, just knocked down this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but this would probably be a pretty good time for Paul to say, well, that does it for me. I'm good. They just stoned me, left me for dead. I'm just trying to do my call that God's placed on my life. I'm healing the sick. I'm performing miracles in Jesus' name. And I'm trying to bring the good news to hurting people. And, all of a sudden, I find myself outside of this city, stoned and just left for dead. And I'm not gonna lie, if I were to be completely transparent, like some of us could possibly be this morning, if you could do me a favor, I would not blame Paul if he decided right then and there to say, you know what, I'm gonna give up, I'll give this job to someone else, and I'm gonna move on to my next city that God's calling me to. I quit, I'm throwing in the towel, I've given all that I can give. This is probably, if any place were to have that type of attitude, this is probably the place that Paul could have had that type of attitude. I'm done. But no, as we read in scripture, Paul got up and he went right back into the city of those who stoned him and continued to do the work of God. You see, he didn't quit. Paul's mentality was this: I may be knocked down, but I am not knocked out. See, there may be some of us here today that find yourself in a spiritual desert. You feel that you've given all that you can and you don't have any more to give. You find yourself in a place where you're under the circumstances, going through the trials, going through a set of just tribulations in your life. But I am here to tell you something. It doesn't matter how you feel, because God is wanting you to get back up, to continue dreaming, and to keep fighting. And so as we get ready to dive into this, I want you guys to hear what the Lord has for you this morning, is that no matter what kind of punch the enemy has thrown at you this morning, church, no matter if you're walking through a loss in health, whether it be financial loss, so no matter what possibly could be opposing you this morning, God has got something for you. You are not knocked out, just knocked down. You feel like the season you're in has stoned you and left you for dead. Well, guess what? The word that God has for you, son, daughter, this morning, what God is saying is don't quit, continue dreaming, keep fighting. Yes, I'm going through it. Yes, I got hit. Man, it might have been painful, but God didn't bring me this far for me to have my desert season knock me out. God is saying today, you can have ups and downs, church, but do not have any ins and outs. It was funny, you know, as I was trying to prepare, I actually started preparing three different messages for this morning, and we had this all-staff meeting this past Tuesday, and there was some confirmation, some words that came forth in our staff meeting that said, no, that's what you're supposed to talk about, and individuals all across this square table confirmed exactly what we were supposed to talk about today. And what the Lord wants to remind us is you might be able, and you might have some ups and downs, but please, church, do not have any ins and outs. Knock down, just not knocked out. Paul had the attitude of, I can't give up now. There are still more people that I need to help and bring the good news to. If I don't go back into that city, then who is? Paul probably was thinking to himself, you know what? I'm left here for dead. I'm laying on the floor. And probably someone else could maybe go take that city on. But what if there isn't? And he decided right then and there, I'm not going to give up. No matter the desert, I have to fight. I came across some of my notes at a youth camp a few years back when I was probably a sophomore in high school. And I was in this auditorium at a youth camp. And the youth camp had, probably about 500-600 people in the youth camp, probably 500 youth students in the youth camp. And there's this pastor by the name of Tim Delina, and he asked us these two questions. I'm going to ask them for you guys today as I was reading over these notes that I took a couple years back. And he asked the youth students the first question. He said, how many here want to fulfill the call of God upon your life? And out of the 500 or so youth students, you know, a good 300 of them raise up their hands and a couple yeses and a couple, yeah, that's me, pastor, you know, whatever decided that the students wanted to be able to say. And he said, good. Now, let me ask you another question. Why is it that some people quit and give up and others keep on pressing forward? He said, it's amazing they can be facing the same types of trials, be going through the same situation, and one will press on, but another will give up. And he said, popcorn, 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 popcorn. And I love popcorn, but to be honest, to try to rile up a whole bunch of youth students, I didn't think popcorn was the best, you know, next point of his sermon. I didn't necessarily think that was incredibly beneficial just to bring up popcorn and yell it. He yelled it a lot louder than I did. But he brought up popcorn, and I brought a visual for us today. I mean, you know, for those of you that like Act Two popcorn, I don't know if we, you know, if there's any of those. But this is what I was able to find this morning at the church. But I love popcorn. I'm the kind of person that goes to a movie theater, and I don't actually really go for the movie. I just go for the popcorn. I go grab the large bucket of popcorn, and I'll eat it before the movie even starts. One of my favorite go-tos is, you know, a snacks, and all of us got our good snacks that we have with popcorn. You know, some of us are big licorice fans. Some of us might be some Sour Patch, some sour candies, you know. But mine all the time is Bunch of Crunch, the little balls of chocolate. Throw those in. Good chocolate and popcorn is a pretty good combo, right? And I personally love me some good popcorn and Bunch of Crunch. And anybody, Pastor Tim Delina, he brought out this bag of popcorn, and he said, popcorn, I love popcorn. He goes, but I despise one thing. And he goes, this bag of popcorn starts off with a whole bunch of kernels in the same bag. You put it into a microwave. He said, and not only do you put it in the microwave, but you put it in for the same amount of time as the rest of the kernels. You put it in for roughly that 2 minutes, or some of us just click that popcorn button, depending on how lazy we feel that day. But you put it in, and it has the same time, the same ingredients. It's cooked in the same heat. It's in the same location. But he said, sometimes you just end up with these little kernels that are left over that never actually turned into popcorn. And he said, I despise these little kernels of popcorn. He said, why couldn't these things just turn into some more popcorn for me? That way I could shove my belly with some more popcorn and have a great time at my movie. And he talked about this little piece of this little kernel. And I thought that it was just so profound. He said, these kernels I despise. He said, I don't understand. He said, these kernels have the same environment as the other. They were given the same time as the other. They were given the same kind of heat as the other. They were in the same bag. They had the same ingredients, but a good majority of them popped, but some didn't. And he said, it's funny how popcorn kernels can correlate with us in this room. What's the parallel? A lot of people will second-guess themselves and bail out and quit just because when they try it first, it doesn't work out. They consider it a permanent failure, but all they need is a little attitude or mindset shift. Instead of saying this is failure, they say this is a lesson, and all the kernel needed was a little mindset shift, as Pastor Tim Delina described and said this youth auditorium of 500 students. He said, you see, if only this little colonel knew that he was only a second away, if the colonel knew that it only needed a little bit more time cooking, if only one more time getting back up after failing, it saw all of its surrounding colonels, all of its little buddies popping into this beautiful piece of snack that you're going to be able to eventually have at a movie. But he said, what happens is these colonels just needed to go through a little bit more discomfort. Or my favorite, just needed to trust its maker's timing for a little bit longer. But because those colonels were too focused on the uncomfortable state that they were in, they were never able to see themselves grow into what its maker intended it to become. You see, do not focus on the desert when God is trying to fulfill the dream. I'll say this again as we dive into this. Do not focus on the desert when God is trying to fulfill the dream. Pastor Tim DeLena went on to say, and to conclude, he said, this is the church. We're a bunch of popcorn kernels that come into service every Sunday, get fed up, fueled up, and fired up to go face our desert season. But because we're too focused on the time it takes, the discomfort we're in, and have our eyes on the desert, some of us never grow into the person that God is calling us to be. God is saying this morning, church, you got to try to be like Paul. Go through a desert season instead of focusing on the trials, instead of focusing on the struggle, instead of focusing on the opposition, focus on the God who is fulfilling the dream. It's incredible what perspective will do. See, just like the Israelites went through the desert, there are going to be times when you and I will face spiritual deserts, natural deserts, mental deserts, financial deserts, deserts of loss. And a lot of us in this room are facing them right as we speak. The key is, church, is we need to have the same outlook that we have when we are on the mountaintop as when we're in the valley. Because when we have the same perspective or we have that mindset shift, my goodness, we may have some ups and downs, but we will never have any ins and outs. And as we dive into the meat and potatoes of this message, church, the negative attitude and the incorrect outlook that brought us to the desert is not the answer. Pastor Jason says this phrase a lot, and I felt like it was important to reiterate it yet again. We need to leave that victim mentality there in the desert and take up the victor mentality so that way that victor mentality can get us to your promised land. In order for us to be able to go from this desert season that we're walking in into the victory that he's called us to, we've got to get rid of the victim mentality. I want you to know it's important as we dive into this, church, the dreams, the aspirations, the victory that you've been waiting for is right around the corner. Look to your neighbor and say, right around the corner. I'm not just saying that to say it. I'm not just saying that because I want to be a motivational speaker. The victory that you've been looking for is right around the corner, church. It's right around the corner. It does not matter how many times you've been knocked down, you're not knocked out. So look at your desert season and say, you don't own me. I'm going to start walking in victory and see what happens. When your perspective and your mindset shift takes place, see what happens. You may be stoned. You may have gotten stoned. Your desert season has left you for dead this morning. But guess what? You are not knocked out. You're only knocked down. Continue fighting. Continue dreaming and see what God can do. What God is saying this morning is, desert, you don't dictate my dream. Desert, you don't dictate my dream. What the enemy uses as a setback, God is going to use as a comeback. I'm telling you right now, church, I don't want you just to hear this and go, you know what, it's yet another motivational speech that a pastor has come and given me. No, I really feel the declaration that's inside my spirit that I feel like will inject faith into yours this morning is what the enemy uses as a setback, God's going to use as a comeback in your life right now. Right now in Jesus' name. As I was preparing this over the course of these past couple of weeks, I truly believe that the encouragement that the Lord wants to give you is, it doesn't matter what your desert season looks like this morning, sir. Doesn't matter what your desert season looks like this morning, ma'am. I am telling you, God, if you will just trust him and stay committed and stay disciplined, watch him show up and watch you start to walk in victory, and the same victory that you maybe even used to walk in, you're going to start walking in now because you are going to start trusting him. Stay disciplined, continue dreaming, continue fighting. That is what the word is this morning. We may all be in desert seasons, church. It's important not to leave your dreams in the desert, though. Don't leave your dreams in the desert. Some people start off with a dream, but while going through the process of the desert, they get robbed of their dream. Or as I'm going to phrase this morning, the desert steals their dreams. I love the story of Joseph. Joseph is the perfect example of this, and we're going to dive into this morning. I'm not going to read a whole bunch of scripture. I'm just going to summarize Joseph's life, his story, in this desert season that a lot of us would go, man, that's a desert season. Joseph, the son of Jacob and one of 12 brothers, is given a coat of many colors by his father, which is symbolic of his favor, but also his brother's jealousy. It goes on to say that the brothers decide to sell Joseph into slavery, and he gets to this millionaire, this individual called Potiphar, and long story short, man, Potiphar's wife decided to throw himself onto Joseph, and Joseph gets thrown into prison, wrongfully accused, and he gets thrown into prison, and he's met with these two individuals, his cellmates inside prison, and he ends up interpreting their dreams, and the word gets out. Long story short, the word gets out, and Pharaoh says, you know what, I've got a dream, and I if this guy can interpret dreams, then I want to hear from him. And Joseph ends up going to Pharaoh, interprets his dreams, eventually becomes second in command, administers a famine and a severe famine that was getting ready to come upon the land. My goodness, Joseph went through a desert season, all the things that he went through, but God had something different for him because Joseph continued just to keep fighting, to press on. Man, Pharaoh had these strange recurring dreams of cows and ears of corn, and Joseph decides to read his mail, read his dreams, and the foresight allows actions to be made to prevent devastation and grants Joseph a position, like I said, a second in command. Hearing of the prosperity of Egypt, man, his brothers end up coming back and asking Joseph for his help. The story goes on that he devises a test to see if his brothers have changed their ways, and finally he reveals himself, hey, this is Joseph, it's me. What a story. Man, but as I was reading this, for a handful of times I've read this story before, but man, as I was reading this again, I was just taken back by the process that Joseph went through to eventually got to become where he actually got to. Joseph had a dream, but the dream did not come to pass overnight. Joseph had to walk through some pretty desert seasons. It was a process. Tell your neighbors process this morning. The definition of process is a systematic series of actions directed to some end. Did you know that the process that a product goes through can determine the quality of a product? When it comes to food, cars, gold, clothes, all my Welshans family that are here, they're, you know, I was having some individuals come up to me before service talking about vehicles. I am not great with vehicles. Don't ask me to fix your car. I will ruin it even more. I'm just telling you right now. But I was reminded that the name on the product doesn't determine the quality of the product, but it represents the process that that product has gone through and the material inside that product. For example, for those of you who have your fancy iPhones all over this auditorium this morning, and those of you who have your flip phones and you're okay with your flip phones, anyone still okay with their flip phones? I don't even know if we have any of those. I doubt they make them anymore, but I loved my first phone was a nice little flip phone that I opened up, and I had to, you know, tap the ABC, the number one button, like three times in order to get to C to put in my name. Yeah, it was one of those old phones. I know that that's only dating me so much, being I'm only, you know, 25 years old. I know some of us in this room are like, do you remember the phones where you had to, you know, take the cord and run all the way to your closet to make sure no one could hear you? Well, we're not going to get into those kinds of phones this morning, but I remember and I was reminded that you can take an Apple sticker on some of our phones this morning and put it on a flip phone, but it will not make that flip phone have the same quality as the Apple. I can take a Mercedes emblem and put it on the front of a Toyota Prius, but it won't have that same Mercedes-type quality, correct? I know. I'm starting to offend some people who have Priuses. I'm sorry. I love Priuses, kind of. I've never had one, but I'll say that I love them. That way I don't offend anyone. Just want to throw that out there. It's not the name on the product that makes it quality, but the material and the process that that product has gone through that gives it its quality. See, Joseph went through a process to become the man of God he was, and also to be able to see his dreams come to pass. See, most of us at one time or another have had a dream to do something big for God. But what can happen is our dream can be put to sleep in the midst of the process. If the enemy can't steal your dream, I believe that the enemy will put your dream to sleep. What do I mean by putting it to sleep? Well, deep down inside, you haven't given up on your dream, but you're also not pursuing it either. Think about this just for a second, church. The enemy can't say, you know what, that great call of God that you have on your life, that calling, I'm just going to take it from you. Oftentimes now the Lord can't take that calling. Lord's got you called. He's got a perfect plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. What he can do is he can say, hey, but what if? Or are you sure? And he can cause us to question. And instead of stealing it or giving up on it, sometimes you just don't pursue it. You'll be surprised at how many people actually still come to church who are still sitting in here underneath the sound of my voice right now, but have given up or stalled or stopped pursuing their dreams. You'll be surprised at how many people shout, dance, come to church, involved in different ministries and wonderful programs, but have given up on pursuing the call of God upon their life. You see, the enemy cannot knock you out, church. So what he does is he knocks you down and causes you to question. The enemy cannot knock your dreams out, but he can cause them to fall asleep with some opposition. Health problems, financial lack, loss. And instead of us going, watch God use this as the greatest comeback of all time, our demeanor and our perspective goes, woe is me. I'm in another desert season. And we often turn into the colonel, looking at everyone else flourish, looking at the rest of the popcorn, going, oh, well, you know, Susie Q was able to, you know, continue and thrive in her business. Or, you know, Joe Schmo was able to get healed yet again last week, but I'm over here just still popcorn kernel waiting on God's timing, and woe is me. The problem is not God and his timing, church. The problem is us and our outlook. 1 John 5:4 says this, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Hold on, think about this. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world even in our faith. It is time to get back up and walk in victory this morning, church. So what are your biggest dreams? Are you looking for community? Are you looking for or dreaming of that family that just hasn't come yet? Are you hoping for peace? Are you dreaming of your loved ones to know him or to come back to him? Is health part of your dream? I want you to know this morning, church, stop looking at it in a negative perspective and start looking at it in a victor type of mindset and watch everything start to shift as soon as you walk out these doors. It's that I've got so much faith for you this morning that I might even be able to change your situation. That's how much faith I got this morning. But I want you to know this morning, as the band gets ready to get back up here and as they may start making their way, I'm going to be short, sweet, to the point this morning. I want you to know, keep fighting. Continue dreaming, because God has got victory for you. If you walk out of the victim mentality, the victim mindset, and start walking in victory and watch God start to be able to flourish and have your life be not only something that is so victorious, not only are you going to be affected by it, but your family is going to be affected by it, your coworkers are going to be affected by it, man, your neighbor is going to be affected by it, you name it, and watch God start to walk in victory, not only in your life, but those around you. That's the kind of faith that we need to have inside this room. What does Joseph's story teach us about allowing your dreams to go to sleep? You see, if Joseph had at any point, man, he walked through a lot of stuff. I was reminded last week about Brother Dave Reaver being able to come and share. Man, he walked through a lot. At any point, it could have quit. At any point, Joseph could have said, I'm done. What would not have taken place? As I was reminded of this story, let's look at the process of Joseph once more. See, if Joseph's brothers never sold him to slavery, then Joseph never goes to Egypt. If he never goes to Egypt, he's never sold to Potiphar. If Potiphar's wife never decides to falsely accuse him, then he's never put in prison. If he's never put in prison, he's never able to interpret the dreams of the baker and the butler. If he's never able to interpret those dreams, Pharaoh never hears that he can interpret dreams. If he never interprets the dreams of Pharaoh, he would never be able to actually administer well the severe famine that was getting ready to come upon the land. If he was never able to do that, bear with me, I'm getting somewhere. If he was never able to do that, his family would have probably died from this severe famine that was coming. And guess what? If his family died and Joseph doesn't wisely administer that severe famine, and Jesus can't come forth from a dead family. If Jesus can't come forth, then, man, he never died on that cross, and we're dead in our sins without hope in this world. You see, God knew that Joseph was going to go through some deserts. He knew it. He didn't say, Joseph, I'm going to put you through some deserts. No, he said, Joseph, I'm going to be with you through those deserts. He told Joseph, he said, you're going to go through some deserts. Were they going to be easy? No. But he was going to be fulfilling a dream that Joseph had to rule a kingdom, save the land and his family, and eventually save the world. If you guys can do me a huge favor as we get ready to conclude, if you can stand all across your feet. Or stand on your feet all across this room. There we go. I told you I'm going to stutter a couple times. Church, Joseph didn't allow the desert season to stop him from fighting. It's time to fight. It's time to dream again for some of us who have had our dreams put to sleep. And as we launch into this response time that we're getting ready to go into, and then I will dismiss you so that way you can go have some great barbecue, some great sushi, some great time with friends and family. But before you head out that direction, I feel like the Lord wants to be able to handle something, handle some business in here this morning. God's saying it's time to fight. It's time to dream again. Knock down, not knocked out. Maybe there's someone here who needs a little bit of encouragement because you're just going through your desert season. You're going through the process. Let me mention something. Did you know that courage doesn't always roar? Sometimes courage is the Holy Spirit whispering to you, give me another day. Keep fighting. Keep going. You got this. Maybe you've experienced some sadness, some trials, and you're currently teetering with your faith because of trials that you've been in. I think it's time to tell the enemy, I'm done looking at this in the wrong lens. My perspective needs to shift. Church, this morning as we head into this altar response time, it's time to dream again. It's time to fight. It's time to walk in victory. It's time to look at our desert and say, I'm done. It's time to start seeing the promised land or the victory that God has for me. The band is going to take off, and as they do, I want you to tell your flesh this morning, church. I want you to tell your flesh no by making some kind of declaration. I'm not going to request everyone to come forward. If that's how you want to declare this morning, then do it. If it's grabbing your spouse by the hand this morning and declaring it with them, then do it. If it's you lifting up a hand or using your voice for the first time that you've had in a moment, then do it. But I want us all across this building, as the band gets ready to play, and they're going to sing this wonderful song that launched us into our message time this morning. I want you to tell your flesh no, because, yeah, you may be knocked down this morning, but guess what? You're not knocked out. Dear Heavenly Father, as we head into this time, God, I pray for every individual that you give them a spirit of encouragement. That God, as we head into this response time, that God, that you would move on our hearts. That God, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to come and just and open up our hearts, open up our minds to be able to receive what you have for us today. Father, on the count of three, I'm going to ask everyone to declare something. God, and if their declaration means coming up front, if their declaration means raising up a hand, God, on the count of three, the band's going to take off, and God, and we're going to take off because we're going to start to declare that, God, we are going to walk in a victor mentality in Jesus' name. God, we're not knocked out. We're just knocked down. And so on the count of three, I want you to be able to take a leap of faith. Take a leap of faith with me this morning. I'm going to make myself down here. Our prayer team is going to be down here. Our leaders are going to be down here. If you need some prayer, please be able to make yourself available. On the count of three, declare it. If it's declaring on down here at the altar, if it's declaring it in your seat, it's time to declare in Jesus' name. We're going to be walking in a victorious mindset. So on the count of three, one, two, three, in Jesus' name, all across this room, it's time to declare this morning.
Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. You won't believe getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. It's getting closer. Believe it's coming around the corner. You're gonna make it. Oh, you're gonna make it. Oh.
Wasn't planning on it, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to be able to try to have us take a leap of faith this morning, just in our own spirit. For those that are still getting ministered to down here, for those that are still having a moment wherever you're at in your pews, please continue. But I felt like as we were supposed to be able to leave this place today, I didn't have a closing remark this morning. I didn't have a specific way I was going to end the service, but I just felt like the Lord wanted to be able to end it, being able to come together. And so all across this room, if it's a spouse, if it's a couple, if it's your neighbor that you're sitting next to, I just want you guys to be able to take a moment, take the next, 2 minutes, 11:20, and then I'll be back up here. I want you guys to take 2 minutes, and I want you to be able to look to your neighbor, and I want you to look at them and say, is there anything I can pray with you about? What's the opposition? What's the trial? What's the desert season you're facing? And step out in faith and just be able to pray for them. If it's for 5 seconds, pray for them powerfully for 5 seconds. If it's for the full 2 minutes, if you want to stay here for an hour, I'll stay here for an hour. But I just feel like something, as a church, we need to be able to come together and not just walk in this life by ourselves, but in order for us to walk victorious, we've got to be able to lock arms in community with each other. So all across this room, for the next couple minutes, as the band continues to play, can you do me a favor? Can you just find someone, look to the person to the left or right of you, and just ask, is there anything that I can pray with you about? What's the opposition? This is how we're going to conclude this morning's service. So as the band plays, please just spend some time. Let's pray for each other before we officially head out that direction.
Take a look at all the places that he's brought you from. See impossible, believe it's possible. Take a look at all the places that he's brought you from. See impossible, believe it's possible. Take a look at all the places that he's brought you from. It's the impossible, believe it's possible. It's getting closer, believe it's coming. Round the corner, you're gonna make it. It's getting closer, believe it's coming. Around the corner, you're gonna make it. It's getting closer, believe it's coming. Around the corner, you're gonna make it. It's getting closer, believe it's coming. Around the corner, you're gonna make it. You won't believe where I came from. Believe in grace. You won't believe where I came from. Believe in
Father God, all across this room, as we have wonderful prayer moments happening all across this room, God, I just pray for your spirit to continue to be on all of us as a congregation as we leave this place. And that, Father, ultimately, God, we would start walking in that victor mentality, not the victim mentality. So, Father, all across this room, God, I just pray for that spirit of encouragement to resonate with us as we go off this on the rest of our week. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You guys are awesome. Make sure you're here next week. Mark Swanberg and the men's ministry team are going to be bringing a wonderful word for a wonderful Father's Day service. So make sure that you're here next week. We love each and every one of you. Your pastor loves you, even on vacation. We'll see you guys next week.
corner.